iHeart Podcasts.
Guess what, Mango?
What's that, Will?
So obviously we've both heard that a bouquet of roses means love and yellow flowers mean friendship, but there was one I had not heard about. Have you ever heard that sending a basil plant to someone apparently means I hate you?
No. I mean, my wife actually gets me a new basil plant every spring.
Uh-oh.
I thought it was because I like it on pizza. And actually, you know, my daughter actually named the last plant Basie.
Oh, Basie the basil plant. That's great. Wow. Well, if you were more skilled in the art of floriography, you might second guess that gift. And supposedly the secret language started in the 1700s, and it was a way for women in harems to communicate under the guards' noses. And while that origin story might be a little bit murky, the system did become really popular in the 1800s. And so between 1827 and 1923, there were at least 95 different flower dictionaries published in the U.S. alone.
95? That's crazy. But obviously now I know to watch out for people bearing basil gifts. What other flowers should I be wary of?
Especially when you're married to them, I guess. Well, yeah. There are lots of things. So according to Atlas Obscura, hydrangeas mean you're heartless. Striped carnations mean a strong no to any question you've just asked. I like just the idea of having one on hand as your way of saying no. And then let me see here. We've got some others. And a bouquet of oleander and bird's foot trefoil means beware my revenge. And also, don't pin any white cardamines to your kid's clothing because that means paternal error, apparently. But anyway, this is just the first of 9 facts we'll be covering on today's show on flowers and houseplants. So let's dig in. Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Part-Time Genius. I'm Will Pearson. And as always, I'm joined by my good friend Mangesh Hatikader. And sitting behind the soundproof glass, talking to his house plant, Robert. Why did he name it Robert again, Mango?
I think for Robert Plant.
He's so clever. Well, that's our pal and producer, Tristan McNeil. Now, Mango, I know you mentioned that you get a new basil plant every year. Now, is that because you're bad with plants or what?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, my grandfather was a botanist and my mom has like a wonderful green thumb, but somehow it skipped a generation. I'm just really forgetful about plants and I kill off the basil every single year. But I actually haven't done this yet, but I know there are all these apps and smart vases that sort of remind you to check soil moisture and whatever and feed the plants and water them. But one thing I did find online was this Reddit site called Take Care of My Plant. Have you actually heard of this?
No, what is it?
Well, this is great because it's going to be my first fact. So basically in 2016, this Redditor named Tyler J. Wood decided he was bad at taking care of plants and he decided to harness the collective force of the internet to help.
Wow. Actually, that kind of reminds me of that little guy who sold shares of himself online, you know, so you could be a stockholder in him if you wanted to. And he called himself a publicly owned company. You'd actually be allowed to vote on things like whether he should get a vasectomy or not. Do you remember this?
Yeah, it was crazy. And actually, his girlfriend was so infuriated by that.
All right.
But I mean, this is kind of similar. Every day the thread would post like, today is October 18th or whatever, and then ask, do you want to water the plant? And there was this elaborate setup, but basically if more people voted yes than no, the plant, who was named Jeff, would get a shot of water. And it was kind of brilliant. Like people would wake up, check the thread every day, place their vote, and then there was a video camera on it as well.
So has Jeff survived? I mean, there's so many trolls. I can't imagine it has.
Well, apparently it's undetermined. As of January 2018, it was still alive, but barely. And it wasn't exactly the internet's fault. Apparently, Tyler had gone on vacation and the pot of water that was like feeding the supply had run dry. And now he's actually moving, so he's taken the project offline. But it's kind of sweet. Like the community is waiting for updates, like anxiously. And someone even tried to hijack the thread to keep other plants alive. Apparently, there's this plant named Gordon that might be getting some internet love next, but it's kind of a contentious issue. But what sort of fact do you have next?
I love that we've talked about plants named Robert and Jeff and Gordon. This is pretty good. Well, I've got a pretty simple one here, but it kind of highlights why we should all have houseplants. And that's the fact that indoor plants can actually help fight loneliness and depression. There was a 2014 study that showed that the presence of plants in the office actually increased workplace satisfaction, self-reported levels of concentration, and perceived air quality. And actually, on a related note, Amazon recently unveiled an indoor rainforest of sorts in their new building in downtown Seattle. It contains more than 40,000 plants of 400 different species for extra happiness, I guess.
I love that. And I'd love to visit, maybe, you know, whenever they pick their second location.
Right.
But here's one I think you might like. So you know how terrariums are kind of all the rage now?
Yeah.
Well, our researcher, Eves, told me this. Apparently, the first terrarium was, just like penicillin and some other great inventions, created accidentally. So it was by this scientist named Nathaniel Bagshaw Ward. I'd never heard of him before, but he'd originally built glass boxes for caterpillars, you know, to watch their metamorphosis. And this was way back in the 1820s. But all of a sudden, he noticed that this fern spore had started growing in the soil, and he was fascinated because no one was tending to it. So he started building larger glass cases in his house and yard and on his roof, apparently. And his largest was like 2.5 meters long. And by 1836, he'd actually published a book on it called On the Growth of Plants in Closely Glazed Cases.
It's
a catchy title.
Yeah.
But apparently one of his ferns that he used to exhibit at shows hadn't been watered for 18 years. And for years, people used to refer to terrariums actually as Wardian cases.
Huh. I had not heard that before. Well, I've got one here. How about one on unintentional houseplants? Have you ever heard of that company called Lush?
Yeah, they make those super fancy soaps, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, in 2016, they made this bar called Wiki Magic Muscles Bar, which had these massaging seeds in it to exfoliate your skin, I think. And they were some sort of bean. But to the surprise of some people, when the seeds got scraped off and lodged in little cracks in the shower, they started sprouting these little plants.
I feel like that's the only sort of plant I could keep alive,
yeah.
Like the kind you're not actually supposed to have.
Exactly.
Okay, so here's a story I think is funny. Have you heard about this album called Music to Grow Plants?
I haven't.
So I really want to hear it. Apparently, and this is from our friends at Atlas Obscura, the album was created by a dentist in 1970, and it kind of blends smooth cocktail party jazz with some really high-pitched, irritating sounds in between. Supposedly, it's really terrible.
And I also can't imagine that actually works or does anything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure it does either. I know plants do hear things. I mean, we've talked about this before on the show, that plants have been known to bend towards water sources. Like, if they hear the drips of a leaky pipe and they're not getting fed, then they might wind towards that. Or if there's the sound of an insect chewing on them, it can alert them to turn on their defenses. But for the most part, scientists are pretty skeptical. I think the thing I really liked about this was that the dentist was insistent that this kept his plants lush and beautiful, and he really didn't want it to be turned into a novelty record. Like, he didn't want this to be, like, treated as some sort of joke, so his record was only sold in flower shops and a few department stores.
That's pretty good. All right, well, here's a fact for you about Venus flytraps, because I know, Mango, that you love Venus flytraps.
Is it that you shouldn't feed them hamburger meat?
Well, that's definitely true. And so while the greedy plant will gobble down the hamburger, its system is built for bugs, not beef. So the burger will actually harm the plant. But that wasn't my fact. It got me a little sidetracked there. I didn't know this before this episode, but Venus flytraps only grow in the wild in North and South Carolina. In fact, they're even the official state carnivorous plant in North Carolina. Did you know there's this state carnivorous plant? It's pretty great.
I had no idea. I also love that there's probably some furious backup, right? Like, was the pitcher plant lobby super upset about it or furious that Venus flytraps got the nod?
Well, I don't know about that, but here is what's crazy. So in 1956, the state started protecting their favorite meat-eating plant. So you actually have to get a permit if you want to collect them from the land. And in fact, it's lucrative enough that there's a whole world of families who poach the plants as their main business. But in 2014, the state struck back and they upgraded the theft of a flytrap from a misdemeanor to a felony. I'm not kidding about this. And actually, in 2015, two men stole over 1,000 plants and they were thrown in jail with the bond set at $1 million.
Whoa.
And apparently the Charlotte Observer said they both had, quote, plant-related priors.
That's amazing. So I had no idea that they were so sought after, though I did know that Thomas Jefferson was a huge fan of Venus flytraps and had a lot of them around. But, you know, just the idea of Thomas Jefferson feeding a little plant, like, kind of makes me happy.
Yeah, me too. All right, well, let's take a quick break and come back with our final two facts.
Welcome back to Part-Time Genius, where we're talking about houseplants. So, Will, your wife's a gardener and super into nature. Do you like to garden too?
I mean, I love that we have a garden, and I like being out there, and I like doing things like digging when I'm told to dig. But I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't consider myself a gardener, but I do like being out there. How about you?
Every time my family used to garden together, I would find some excuse to come inside and make drinks like lemonade for everyone. I just hated it. I love plants.
I got to use that trick. All right. So what fact do we have to close this out, Mango?
So we talked a little about pitcher plants and Venus flytraps being surprisingly valuable, but did you know how lucrative the bonsai industry can be?
No.
Apparently, and this comes from kotke.org, there's a world bonsai championship every year. I think this was the 8th year of it in 2017, and it's considered the Olympics of bonsai. But the top tree last year went for $900,000. Can you imagine that?
I mean, they are like little pieces of art, but I cannot imagine almost $1 million for a single one of these.
I know, it's a lot of money. But here's something else that blew my mind. So even though the trees are tiny, the fruit they grow is regular size. So there are actually pictures online of like a single apple growing from a 6-inch tall tree. It's insane.
Wow, that is insane. All right, well, here's my final fact, and I think you might like this. So have you heard of gilded fertilizer?
Gilded fertilizer.
Yeah, so this is a luxury product that comes from an organic goat farm in Switzerland. And it's basically golden manure nuggets, or what they're marketing as, they call it elegant manure. And it's super expensive. So for $50, you get a tiny vial of gold-dusted nuggets stacked on a stick. Then you can just pop it into a houseplant. And it looks super modern and beautiful, but it actually also works. And if I'm being honest, I think they could probably sell really well.
I mean, I thought I was going to clinch this with my big fruit, tiny tree fact, but, you know, the fact that people aren't just making golden manure, but selling it at a high price, like, it's just too good. It's really kind of genius.
It's pretty smart. Well, thanks for the victory this week. And thank you guys for listening. We'll be back with a full-length episode tomorrow.